Morning. Welcome to Community Coffee Break. It is Tuesday, 28th of April, 2020. And welcome to, I see Solbu there. So give me a wave, Solbu. I see Agamotto. And I see Bo. And there's Marshman. Good morning, yeah. Marshman.
In my living room.
In your living room. How nice. He must be running Windows. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And I saw Robbie trying to get in, but I don't see him getting in. So, all right. And, of course, I'm BP9. Good morning. So, BP9. Okay. Sorry to interrupt the conversation, but carry on.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Who called me?
BP9, you don't need to be on Windows to do this.
Really?
Yep. You can have it on Linux.
And really?
Yep.
How?
Now, if only I could get my camera to work. Good morning, Robbie.
Hey, guys.
I've already done the intro.
That very same thing.
I've already done the intro. We've already started. So,
thanks, man. I see Soldier's made his sandwich, so that's good.
And look,
I wish you'd hurry up. Will you hurry up?
Look where Marshman is. Look where Marshman is, but Robbie.
I tried to pull it off, too. We just have a kind of a miserable little desktop PC here, and I set up a life cam, but the PC wouldn't take it. So
okay,
I just want to know how expensive the tickets were.
I have a crufty old webcam. I really need to just get me a new webcam. Maybe it worked better on Linux, but none of my machines would accept the webcam. So. Literally, the lights were on, but nobody was home. So, you know, mm-hmm. The light lit up on the webcam, but it wouldn't actually relay to Zoom. So,
I plugged this one in, and it didn't do a thing. But it's like a USB 2 webcam. I'll bet you it's probably the system's too old. So, But Marshman, tell us about your setup.
Yeah, you got it going. Are you on the Android
house? Yet I'm socially distant.
Yeah. wait till Sobu walks up and tries to sit in your chair, then you'll be in all kinds of trouble.
He finishes in the kitchen. You can see me working in the background.
Yeah, he's taking forever to make that sandwich. It's just ridiculous.
Sobu.
Oh, that must be on a recording loop or something is what that is. Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay.
I think I'm slow today. Solbu should also change to that background.
Oh, that would just be too weird. That would just be too freaky. Yeah.
Everybody having a good day? Yes.
More Raymond, Robbie? Is that what you're eating there? Mm-hmm. Very good. What flavor?
Kimchi.
Oh, where'd you get that?
We have kimchi
here. Kim's Convenience.
I didn't know you could get kimchi flavor.
Oh, yes. Genuine article. We have an Asian grocery store.
Oh, even better. I got to get me some of that. You got me hungry for that now.
Oh, it's real good. It's real good. I've mentioned it before, though. I need to get some chopsticks for at the office.
Well, how do you drink the broth if you use the chopsticks to eat all the noodles?
Well, you just...
Oh, you wait till the end. You just drink it.
Ah, exactly. Mm.
I've actually seen an Asian eating soup with chopsticks. They have noodles or some. They have something in the soup, and they manage to eat up the entire soup using the other ingredients already in the bowl.
Fascinating
to watch.
That's
takes
impressive.
A little more dexterity than I have. I need cheaters.
We have ramen spoons at home. Which are just they're part of the culture, but they're a little bit wider, deeper, and you eat it with that and a pair of chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
But here at work, I got to just drink it from the bowl.
Do what you got to do. Right?
Go.
And in fact, look at the size of that bowl. That is humongous, Robbie.
My perspective.
My sister told me in one of the years ago at the place she was living. She went to a Chinese place and ordered some chopsticks. And she was sitting for 10 minutes trying to eat using the chopsticks. And the chef had enough, and he came to her, and he sat beside her for 10 minutes teaching her how to use it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she uses that to
do. And if I sit down in an Asian restaurant and they don't serve me chopsticks, I'm like, excuse me, what's going on here?
Well, you can. I have no trouble with the you know, larger pieces of food with chopsticks, but can't do it with broth. But you know, you sit down and watch actual Chinese people eat, and they almost literally just shovel it in. They almost literally just do that with a bowl. So
they don't have time to waste. They want to eat.
That's right. Nothing wrong with that. Yep, absolutely.
It also helps if at least two of the edges are flat. And if the restaurant actually knows how to prepare rice properly, which is sticky.
True. Now, getting sticky rice from, you know, here is another, you know, issue.
You just got to make it yourself.
Well, there is
Yeah, but that's one of my tests of restaurants around here. If the rice isn't sticky, they don't know how to cook it.
Yeah.
A special mention to Minnie Marsh. I saw her pop up while we were chatting. So hello.
She around there?
She's disappeared already, but I got a wave in, so that works. Got to acknowledge them when I see them, don't you know?
So, yeah. No worries.
Mm-hmm. What was your question, Robbie? I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir. Since you're running the show.
Oh, no, you run away. Run the show yourself. Oh, yeah. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, good. Yeah, but it's nice to be in the back seat for a change.
A little bit of a break, yeah.
Watch someone else be driving, right?
So. Since Bill mentioned that he is using this background on Linux, I'm curious to know how you did that.
I had to you go into your Zoom account and into your settings.
There's a
virtual background setting. You can add a picture or a video.
So there's our problem, Bipin. I mean, we don't have a Zoom account.
That's true. But according to Robbie, you can actually get you can create a Zoom account for free. But
yeah.
Your meetings are limited to like 40 minutes, 40 right. minutes. Is that
Only if you're the host.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But can I still do the background even on a free account?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, nice. Well, it still requires that I actually have a working webcam after all that, so.
Minor detail.
Yeah, I did download the latest version of Zoom from their website and got it to run on the Linux box. I was just couldn't get the, that sounds a whole lot better. Once I turn on the noise-canceling headsets, makes a huge difference. I kept wondering, what is all that noise? So, Pine Time. I haven't got it yet. Have you got your shipping notification yet, Robbie?
Not at all. No.
No? Okay.
No, nothing.
Well, they sent me a really long shipping number, like 15 digits long, and said it's being shipped by 17 Track. Well, I have no idea who 17 Track is. And so I enter that shipping number into their website and say, I don't know anything about the shipping number. Good luck with that. Okay. So I don't know whether it's coming or not. We'll just have to wait and see, won't we? But I did have a bit of a look yesterday at one of the things that I realized was, you know, I figured out how to display all of the tick marks, and I figured out how to display all of the clock window, the clock hands, where they all need to be at each point in the time frame, but I haven't figured out how to actually write text to the display yet. So I've been
tell me you don't have to figure out the pixels for every character.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I mean, it would be trivial for me to do it on the program that I demonstrated a while ago, but that's got nothing to do with the Pine Time. That is just a test workbench to prove that the arrays that I built actually work. The program still has to or the PineTime application still has to figure out how to draw that text, because from what I could tell from the photos, the picture that had the clock face on it does not show any numerics on the on the clock face at all. I think they were relying on the background to do that, but the background was all weird and wonky. I don't know why they did that. But. So, yeah.
So BP9.
Yes, sir.
On the Pine phone, there's an app called AmazeFish, and it's a watch companion app for Sailfish OS, which works on the Pine phone. So that allows your watch and your phone to talk to each other.
When you say works on the Pine phone, are you saying it's a separate app that you install on the Pine phone?
Right. Yeah, it's a separate app you install on Sailfish OS.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sailfish OS doesn't run on the PineTime, though.
No,
but I'm trying to figure out, does any component of that actually, do you take any component of that and install it on the PineTime, or no? Do you still have to write something for the PineTime?
I'm sure that, well, let's see. I don't know exactly how the communication happens. I mean, it happens over Bluetooth, obviously, but I'm not sure what types of messages are relayed between the two.
I guess what I'm trying to understand is the piece you're describing is designed to run on the Pine phone, correct?
Right.
But nothing of that. What I'm trying to understand is if any part of that is supposed to be installed on the PineTime or not.
Well, I think if you're writing your own PineTime OS, yes, you would have to process the messages that AmazeFish would be sending, yeah, to the PineTime.
For my initial attempt, I'm not planning to do any Bluetooth communication or anything like that. The way I've described it before is that my plan would be to, once I've got the watch face up and running, it would display some default time, typically the time it was compiled. And then you have to get into another screen, like a setting screen, to adjust the time. Once it's adjusted and you've updated the real-time clock, the so-called real-time clock in the PineTime itself, then the PineTime should just keep running. Whether the screen is on or not, the PineTime should just keep running, and it should just keep track of the time at that point, without any further intervention.
So it would just count jiffies.
But say again?
Just count jiffies, wouldn't it? Just count the number of jiffies since
There is actually a clock, effectively a crystal, but a device. Oh, it's okay. Not really a real-time clock, though. It is actually just a ticker, something that ticks literally every 32,000 times every second or something. And once you set the time in that device, it is a separate real-time clock device. Once you set the time in that device, then it will carry on at that point. It will keep going at that point. But until then, it does not. Until then, it uses some default, whether it be all zeros or whether you set it up at startup time with a default time or so. But the time's going to be wrong until it's adjusted. Once it's adjusted, it'll keep running until the battery dies. Once the battery dies and it all stops, then you've got to start it all over again.
On the old devices, it just counted jiffies from the last sync and just went from there.
Well, that takes CPU cycles. This thing is separate from the CPU. This device, this ticker, is separate from the CPU, as is the accelerometer, as is the touch screen. There's all kinds of devices hanging off the CPU that you can control through the, I think it's the IC squared or something. It's a serial interface. I don't know all about that stuff yet. That's part of the thing you learn when you first start messing with the device itself. There's only so much you can pick up reading the documentation and looking at examples, right?
Yeah, I'm amazed how much you already know about it and how much you've already done.
What I think I know is what you should say, not what I know, because
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it, and everything you've told me is wrong.
It could well be. It could well be. That's what it's all about. That's how it works.
And when it's for them, made everything work, then you have a new feature for an episode of Cat 5.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, sure. actually, we should talk about that, Robbie. I mean, I would be happy to do a series or a couple of short things about what I learned from this developing adventure on the Fine Time. But before I do any of that, I would like to at least get something working from it. Because it would really suck. It would be a really short series if I got the Pine Time, tried to program it, bricked it. So, okay, well, that's it. That's the end.
One out of every three episodes of Category 5.
This series has been made redundant.
Yes, how to brick your Pine Time in one easy step.
Not when you get Pine Time.
Oh, dear.
I cannot look at Bill without smiling.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
I'm wondering, you keep looking up to your left there.
Yeah, that's where the grid is.
Working back there on his
soul. Oh, so he's just stuck in a temple.
Still working on that.
Yeah, make Bill that sandwich, will you, Soul Booth?
Speaking of notifications earlier, I received notifications that my Odroid C4s have left Incheon.
Oh, wonderful. Yep.
Have left where?
Incheon.
Where from?
South Korea.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, got it. Okay. Well, I'm sure 17 track would tell me the same thing if I could make it understand any of the tracking numbers.
Yeah, they're coming DHL, and DHL is funny because it looks like they get hung up, and then you get on the next day to track it, and there's like 15 updates.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, your doorbell's ringing.
my original Pine book came via DHL, so I'm kind of surprised they didn't ship DHL because it's coming to exactly the same address.
Yeah.
So maybe it came DHL, but the tracking number the tracking number wasn't valid for DHL. I knew it wasn't a UPS tracking number or a FedEx tracking number. So I don't know who is. I don't know who the carrier is. We'll find out.
I got the notification from DHL.
Did you? Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep an eye out. We'll see what.
One of the first web pages that I frequently visited when I got internet access in 98 was a page called DLH. It was a page where I think it said is something else there now. It was a page where it had hints and cheat codes for games and so on. So I used that for 3 or 4 years. Mm. I still have some of the cheat codes that I don't know.
I've discovered that even the cheat codes don't help me because I suck at playing games.
Bo, do you have any ETA on the new board? What do you got?
Do you see what this is? This is something we've assembled for a customer in Robbie's neighborhood. It is a Odroid H2 with a 10 gigabit Ethernet card.
Nice.
So this guy can transmit it. We've gotten it over 8 gigabits a second in actual real world stuff.
Wow.
So
what on earth is it logging at that rate?
Well, it's a test rig actually.
Wow.
That takes SBCs into the realm of like data servers. That's crazy.
Yeah, I saw, I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but a week or two ago, I saw an image someone posted of the very first router that routed traffic on the internet. It was a meter high and half a meter deep. And it was just a router, and now you have that.
Too early for video then, Solby, right? It was a picture you saw, not a video? Okay, just checking.
So, the base we designed and printed on our 3D printers here.
That looks really good.
It holds everything nice and solid and compact. But the Pine 64 has dropped hints that they might be thinking about building a router based on a ROC Pro 64. So basically an open source router that you can tinker with yourself.
How would that differ to an open source distro like DDWRT or there was one other that you mentioned, Robbie, wasn't it?
Well, I use MikroTik, but I'm thinking BP9. The difference is going to be that this is a full Linux machine.
Yeah, the hardware,
full Linux machine,
so to speak.
Right. Probably with multiple ports.
I did that 20 years ago. I put two network cards in a PC.
Yeah, like PFFactor Monowall.
That literally all you did is you booted it off a floppy. Two network cards. One came in from your internet provider. The other went out to your to the rest of your network, and that was your router/firewall. It's pretty impressive.
A friend of mine got on all their server.
Go ahead, Solbu.
A friend of mine was his job was going to retire an old server, a one year server. So my friend asked if he could take it, and when he got home, he was a little disappointed. But I think that he should have taken the hint when one of the items on the front of the one year server was a floppy drive. He thinks that the machine is from the late 1990s.
Been there, done that.
Oh, I know, but I'm just thinking compared to the ones today, it's like, ooh.
True. You're right. They might get one flop per second or something, but no mega flop.
It'd be like going back to a 9600.
Hey, I still have an old 300 baud modem from Australia somewhere. So,
oh my god!
Yeah. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! And the Model 100 I showed off a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, has a 300 baud modem built in. It doesn't do tone dialing.
Or some sort of thing you could plug in the telephone cord. Yeah,
that's correct. That's exactly right.
Because I actually used one of those as a quote junior reporter in high school.
Sure.
A lot of reporters use them. And stuff like that. And it was my little typewriter.
Yep. A lot of reporters used them. They're very good for that. So for getting copy back to the home base.
Yep. I see that the Bill has moved his mood from the house
That's what I'm talking about right there.
I
see palm trees. Come on, Marsh Man, you can put the beach back.
Maybe
up
this
there,
fall the plane mind. Tickets will be cheap enough.
Yeah. Who needs a plane ticket? I got a plane.
You guys want to hear what I discovered today? Well, not today. Yesterday. Last night.
Okay.
Last night, I discovered Vimeo has an API.
Okay.
I didn't even know that.
What does it do for you?
Well, what happens is that every week when I do the show and anytime we do coffee break or whatever, I log into Vimeo and I copy the links to the files. And then I put them in my MySQL, my MariaDB server. Mm-hmm. And then our website parses everything and our transcoders go through all the files and everything. But having done the show on Wednesday and having published it on Monday, I realized that the website was still only showing up to 1080p. So I thought, I'd like to add the 1440p feature as well, 2K video. And so I went into the logged into the back end of Vimeo, and the highest resolution in the back end is 1080p. So I did a quick search.
Still not bad.
Well, not bad, but not 2K.
I know, but I'm thinking of all the countries and stuff with metered access and all the other stuff where it's not as easy to stream it.
It's optional. Well, we stream in HLS, so it'll automatically clock down to
adjust. Okay.
But as far as the direct downloads, because if you go to any episode of Category 5, even the coffee break, you can click on the download button and download it to your hard drive. So it makes sense to have the highest res video that we have available. So I did a quick search, and turns out they do store the 1440p files, but they don't make them publicly accessible on the dashboard. You have to be a developer, they say. So I guess they're like weeding out
So they're testing.
Yeah, they're like testing whether you're good enough to have access to the big files. So I took a look at that last night, and sure enough, I already wrote the program to do it. So
you wrote it in PHP, didn't you, Robbie? You did, didn't you?
I did.
I knew it. It's a Bash script,
and it's running in Bash.
Well, I doubt Como would be useful for this.
It sure can be. Sure. Yeah.
And it runs great. So it goes through my database and it finds all the missing files that Vimeo has that our database doesn't have, and it automatically syncs them. So I'm going to be testing that over the next couple of days. It's going to run through our database and download all of the files and test
it. And you're going to run that at the studio, right? Where you have a nice thick
I have a 100/100 fiber line at the colocation facility.
Oh, so nice.
That's donated to us. So which has always been, you know, it's like, I wish I could have that at the studio.
Yeah.
No, it's colocation. So that's where our actual server and our backups are. So when you're watching the show live, you're streaming it from that colocation facility.
I always wondered about that, how the video, especially with the high volume folks like Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that, how they split the video and split it so it can be shared that way without a huge amount of network latency. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start with something like that.
It's twofold. It's between HLS for the bandwidth control. So that's what makes it so that it will automatically change the bit rate on the fly.
Yep.
So that's HLS. And then the second factor is Nimble Streamer. And Nimble Streamer is what allows us to do YouTube, Facebook, Roku, all simultaneously. I'm only sending a single feed to the Nimble Streamer server.
Nice.
And then
it splits it up into virtual machines for each format?
Well, essentially, I mean, it splits it up into separate feeds to all the different supported platforms. So, and it sends it to them in HLS format. So,
at some point, though, you still literally have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people downloading this video or watching it on the fly. And some point, all that has to be split up into thousands or tens of thousands of individual feeds for each of those. Each of those devices. That just boggles my mind. I mean,
it's really cool. It's pretty neat stuff.
Nice.
Well, guys, I didn't even have to really do much today. So thanks.
You get a break today.
I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow because I'm gonna figure out how I'm gonna do a show from the studio live as well as possible. So working on that in the back of my mind and working on all the other tech stuff that I'm trying to get sorted and waiting for shipments. My coupler's already arrived for the HDMI cables, so I'll try those tomorrow. But that's all the time I have for today.
Okay. Well, just tell the boss you need a personal day because of all...
I would like a personal week. Yeah,
I can imagine.
So you guys have a great afternoon. I'll see you tomorrow at coffee break, and then don't forget the show is also tomorrow at the regular time. So
yay! See you later. Bye.
All right. Bye.